The word of God given to us today is Acts 15, verses 36 to 41. Allow me to read the text. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Sicilia, strengthening the churches. Amen. The paragraph we have been looking at for the past 3 weeks is about the second missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. After the great controversy relating to circumcision of the Gentiles at the Antioch church was resolved, Paul suggested to Barnabas that they revisit the cities they had visited during their first missionary journey. This was to further strengthen the faith of those who had received the gospel from them during their first journey, and also to seek new opportunities to spread the gospel. Barnabas agreed, but wanted to take along Mark. Mark was Barnabas's cousin, who had briefly accompanied Paul and Barnabas during the first journey. However, Paul opposed the idea of taking along Mark. Mark had abandoned the missionary team during the first journey, and Paul was not willing to take along the irresponsible Mark again. Barnabas maintained his position of wanting to take Mark along, while Paul continued to oppose the idea, and neither was willing to withdraw his contention. As a result, according to verse 39, they had a sharp disagreement and parted company. Based on the Korean version, it appears as if Paul and Barnabas had become extremely emotional while engaging in a dispute, resulting in their parting ways. However, the original Greek version does not contain the word sharp. Also, the Greek word parasosmos, which is translated in today's Korean text as argument, disagreement, is translated differently in Hebrew 10:24, where it means encouragement or challenge. So the translation that they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company can also mean that they encouraged each other and parted. The fact that Paul and Barnabas had cast themselves again to a dangerous missionary journey means that they were willing to give up their rights and privileges, which they could rightfully enjoy in Antioch as ministers of the Antioch church for the gospel. And as I mentioned to you last week, Paul testified that his relationship with Barnabas continued to be that of co-workers in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 6, which he wrote during his third missionary journey. So we look into the separation of Paul and Barnabas in terms of its underlying meaning. That is why last week we reviewed the deeper meaning of Paul and Barnabas parting ways. Though their opinions were opposed on the issue of whether to take along Mark, neither tried to overwhelm or reject the other. As to their differences, they did not think in terms of good and evil or right or wrong, but that although each had different views within God, they confirmed that it was possible for God's intent to be accomplished through two different views. That is why they didn't criticize each other and did not part in a negative manner. That is why they parted, encouraging each other. This was the same reason why Paul did not take the irresponsible Mark who had abandoned them during the first missionary journey. It was not to reject Mark who had committed a serious mistake, but Paul wanted to raise Mark to be a responsible worker of God by challenging and encouraging him. As a result of their parting ways, God's will of renewing the Roman Empire and the entire European continent with the gospel, which had been unimaginable at that time, had been fulfilled. Verse 39 tells us what happened after Paul and Barnabas parted ways for God's will. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. After parting with Paul, Barnabas, together with Mark, took a ship to Cyprus. The purpose of the second missionary journey was to revisit the cities where they preached the gospel during the first journey. That is why Paul, together with Mark, first left for Cyprus. That is why Barnabas, together with Mark, first left for Cyprus, the first destination of the first missionary journey. We may feel pity for Barnabas as we read this verse that states, Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. It is because after verse 39, Barnabas disappears from Acts. As we will see in more detail beginning next week, from this point forward, Acts becomes the stage only for Paul. Having disappeared from Acts, Barnabas' name shows up just 5 times in Paul's letters. Of the two, Barnabas was the first one to appear in Acts. Barnabas first appears in Acts 4, verse 36. But Paul first appears in Acts 7, verse 58. Barnabas first appeared in Acts as a true Christian, whereas Paul first appears in Acts as a rioter who persecuted the church. Initially, there was a huge gap at first between Barnabas and Paul in terms of their faith. Barnabas was the first minister of the Antioch church, the first church for the Gentiles in the 2,000 years of Christian history. Moreover, he was also the head of the first missionary team consisting of Barnabas, Paul, and Mark. However, Barnabas yielded his position as leader to Paul as they passed through Cyprus, the first destination in their journey. This was because Barnabas had to accept the fact that Paul's ability in the field was more outstanding. In chapters 13 and 14 of Acts, which testifies about the first missionary journey, there is not a single sermon delivered by Barnabas. Wherever they went, it was Paul's exclusive role to deliver the sermons. It was also Paul who played the leading role in making the visit to the Jerusalem church to resolve the issue of circumcision of the Gentiles, which had caused great controversy in the Antioch church. Barnabas appeared in Acts much earlier than Paul and more magnificently. However, upon Paul's appearance in Acts, he remained in a supporting role to Paul and disappeared altogether from Acts after verse 39 of today's text. That is why, as we watch him disappear, we can't help but feel pity for him. As we read the short passage, Barnabas took Paul and sailed for Cyprus. We even feel sorry for him. Cyprus, the destination Barnabas and Mark headed for, was not only the first destination of the first missionary journey, but was also Barnabas' hometown. Mark, whom he took on his second journey, was no other than his cousin. Mark, whom he took at the loss of Paul, was his blood relative. But Paul was different. According to verse 40, after parting with Barnabas, Paul selected Silas as his co-worker. We already know that Silas was an important figure of the Jerusalem church, and in verse 32, he is introduced as a prophet. That is to say, Silas, who was chosen by Paul, was no doubt the right person for the missionary journey. Compared to Silas, Mark was a youngster who had already proved to be unfit during the first journey. Nevertheless, Paul could not help but to take his relative Mark to his hometown. That is why we cannot but feel pity for Barnabas. That is because Barnabas appears to be someone who was close to the world, living in a small pond of his blood relatives and hometown. Is this the right view of Barnabas? Although he had appeared much earlier than Paul in Acts, is he a subject only to be pitied, who had played only a supporting role, and then disappeared as Paul begins to dominate the stage? Was the reason why he held on to Mark even at the cost of parting with Paul merely because Mark was his relative and because he was a narrow-minded person living in a small world? The answer to that question is no. Paul, who had been persecuting the church, became a Christian by God's grace on the road to Damascus. When Paul returned to Jerusalem 3 years later, no one welcomed him. The Jews, who considered him to be a traitor for becoming a Christian, wanted to kill him. And none of the Christians in Jerusalem who knew Paul's past believed that he had truly converted to Christianity. They believed that Paul had infiltrated the church in order to round them up. It was Barnabas who, in that difficult time, saved Paul. It was only through Barnabas' assurances that Paul was able to become a member of the Jerusalem church. Barnabas would have to be responsible for whatever problem caused by Paul, who once had been an enemy of the church. Even so, at his personal risk, Barnabas guaranteed Paul's character. Thereafter, Paul had to stay in his hometown of Tarsus for 13 years to hide from the Jews who were set on killing him. While Barnabas was dispatched to the Antioch church, the first Gentile church to be established in the 2,000-year Christian history, as its first pastor. Compared to Paul, who had to hide, compared to Barnabas, who had to hide in his hometown for 13 years, Barnabas walked the firm path. But the people who called Paul, who had been hiding in his hometown for 13 years, to jointly serve as the Antioch church's pastor was Barnabas. Barnabas did not send someone to Paul or send a letter to him to bring him to Antioch. Barnabas personally traveled 175 kilometers to Tarsus to ask Paul to come with him to the Antioch church. This was not because Paul was a great pastor. In fact, Paul, until then, had no experience in the ministry. Nevertheless, Barnabas did this in order to give Paul, who was approaching middle age while hiding in Tarsus, a chance. As earlier mentioned, when Barnabas, Paul, and Mark set out on the first missionary journey to the Mediterranean, the first in the 2,000 years of Christian history, the leader of the group had been Barnabas. However, at Cyprus, the first destination of the first journey, Barnabas relinquished his position and made Paul the leader of the group and remained satisfied, even though from then on he assumed the supporting role to Paul during the first missionary journey, which lasted from 1 to 2 years. No matter how capable Paul was in the missionary field, ordinarily in human relations, it would be impossible for a leader to relinquish his leadership and make his subordinate his leader. But Barnabas did this for Paul. This was not because Paul was a relative. Neither was he from the same hometown. Paul and Barnabas was in fact not related by blood or otherwise. Barnabas did this nevertheless because he was called to do so by God. Barnabas was not someone who was called for the masses. Barnabas' calling from the Lord was to serve, to give an opportunity to guide that one person God assigned to him so that person could rise to stand as a worker of God. If Barnabas had not been faithful to such calling, Barnabas would not have guaranteed the character of Paul, who everyone had shunned in the beginning, would not have called Paul, who had no experience as pastoring, as the co-leader of the Antioch church, and also would not have given away his position as a team leader to Paul during the first missionary journey. That Paul was able to become the Paul we all know of was wholly owing to Barnabas, who was faithful to his calling and continued to serve Paul, whom everyone kept at distance, and gave him opportunities and guidance. That Acts became the sole stage for Paul after today's text was possible because Barnabas was always with Paul. If that is the case, then we realize that to feel sorry for Barnabas, thinking him to be a narrow-minded person who attaches value only to his blood relatives and hometown, and who called Mark to his journey, is not a biblical interpretation. The reason that Barnabas brought Mark with him, even going as far as separating from Paul, was not because Mark was his cousin. But Barnabas did so out of his obedience to his calling to the Lord who sent Mark to him. So what was the result of Barnabas continuing to serve, giving opportunities and leading Mark, who was at one point irresponsible to the point of no comparison? After time passed, Mark became a co-worker of Apostle Peter. We know this because of the writings of the early Christian writer Papias of Hierapolis. That is why it is said that Mark had also transcribed for Peter the first and second book of Peter of the New Testament. Mark helped Peter, who did not receive a formal education and therefore could not speak Greek, the internationally used language at the time, by interpreting Peter's sermons into Greek. Mark was such a great help to Peter that Peter, in 1 Peter 5:13, went as far as calling Mark my son. Thereafter, as I've already mentioned before, Mark became the co-worker of Paul, who was imprisoned in a Roman prison.
의지했던 동역자 중의 한 사람이 마가였습니다. 신약 성경에 등장하는 수없이 많은 인물들 가운데에서 위대한 사도 베드로, 사도 바울 모두로부터 이처럼 신임받은 인물은 마가가 유일합니다. 무엇보다도
No other person in the Bible was so relied upon by both Peter and Paul. If Barnabas, before the second missionary journey, agreed with Paul and took the position that they could not take a young man like Mark, who was irresponsible, and merely rebuke Mark temporarily, the Gospel of Mark would not have existed, and we would have been greatly restricted in knowing our Lord with the Gospels, where the Gospel of Mark would have been missing. From this perspective, Barnabas, who did not give up on Mark to the end, out of his obedience to his call, to the calling of God, was a truly great apostle. Even so, if the Acts were to proceed after today's passage as a solo stage for Paul, wouldn't we still feel sympathy for Barnabas, who came to the scene with much earlier, with much more fanfare than Paul, but who must exit the stage of Acts as of today's passage? Furthermore, what did Paul say about the prize of God? 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Paul says that no matter how many people run in a race, there is only one person who received the gold medal, and so you should do your best to receive the prize. If we were to apply Paul's logic hastily, the person who receives the gold medal on the stage of Acts would be Paul, who made it his solo stage. And Barnabas, who had contributed to Paul becoming Paul, would have been excluded. And us, who know very well that Barnabas did what Barnabas did for Paul and his devotion to Paul, cannot help but feel for Barnabas. But this is completely a human way of judging a situation, a thought which is far from the Bible. The point of Paul saying is not that there is only one person who receives the prize, but that we should do our best to comply with the Lord's calling as the person running for a prize. And so before his death, Paul testified as follows. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul was confident that on the day he stood before God, he would receive the crown of righteousness, the gold medal in God's kingdom. But he did not say that he would be the only one who would receive the crown of righteousness. Paul declared that he would receive the crown of righteousness along with all others who believe in the coming of the Lord. In other words, his second coming and judgment, the Lord's accounting. Paul knew that God judges each person absolutely, not relative to others, based on his calling for that person. The Lord's calling for Paul and Barnabas was different. If Paul had been called for the evangelism for the masses, Barnabas was a tool of God, called to help a person whom God entrusted to him to stand upright. The reason that we feel sorry for Barnabas, who is making his exit as of today's passage, is because we must misunderstand this difference in their callings. Although their callings were different, Paul and Barnabas did their best to their callings. And each of Barnabas' life, which outwardly seems noteworthy, only in that he helped Paul and Mark to stand upright. And the life of Paul, who spread the gospel to countless people by traveling all over the Mediterranean world, both has absolute value before God, which cannot be distinguished as being superior to the other. And that is why we are able to live a life of absolute thanksgiving, absolute satisfaction, absolute joy, without comparing ourselves to another within the Lord. Christians are not people who compare themselves to others as points on a straight line and suffer from a feeling of relative inferiority and relative deprivation. Christians are people who live a life which is absolutely their own, according to their own callings, on a line that makes a circle. Therefore, without an exception, a life of Christian is precious and has absolute value in the Lord. Through each person who lives according to the calling of the Lord, the will of God, which cannot be imagined, will be fulfilled. And each such person will receive the crown of righteousness, which is the gold medal in the kingdom of God. Accordingly, what is important is not how much money I have, what academic degrees, credentials, positions I have. What is important is whether I am living according to my calling. We can be truly happy only when we live according to the calling. It is only then that we can escape the tyranny of life of relativities lived on a straight line and live a life that is absolute, with absolute thanksgiving, absolute satisfaction, and absolute joy, and become the Pauls and Barnabas of this age who fulfill God's will, which we could not even imagine through our lives. Let us pray. O Lord, your children who try their best to live a life in accordance with your calling bow their heads before you at this hour. Please accept each of our hearts and fill us with your grace. Let us not commit the foolishness of trying to live on a single line, overwhelmed by the values of this world. While on a straight line, we must defeat others because they are our competitors, and so there cannot be true love. Let us not forget that if we live on a single line, we can only live a dreary life where we must continuously compare ourselves with others and feel the relative inferiority and deprivation. Because the world created by God is not a level plane but is round, help us so that each of us may live according to our calling while on the circle. Even if it means living a life like Barnabas, who only supported another without having his name recognized or shined in the spotlight, let us realize the absolute meaning and value of such life before God. Please let us not forget that it is meaningless before God whether we are rich or poor, or have learning, experience, high social standing, or whether or not we are successful. Let us experience absolute joy, absolute satisfaction, absolute gratitude within God by breaking free from our shackles of relative life while on a single line, and allow us to be the Pauls and Barnabas of today who achieve God's unimaginable will through our lives. So that on the day we stand before you, may we all receive a gold medal, which in the kingdom of God is the crown of righteousness. Amen.